From the heart of the Forest City, focusing on the biggest stories in London, this is the Craig Needles Podcast. Now here's your host, Craig Needles.
It's the Craig Needles Podcast here at ClassicRock981.com, LondonNewsToday.ca. Find us wherever you get your podcast. And of course, the Craig Needles Podcast is sponsored by our friends over at the Covent Garden Market and at Downtown London. I want to talk about vaccination today. And I know that when people say that, all of a sudden it just becomes this polarizing topic. It didn't used to be this way, and it shouldn't be this way. Yet somehow that's where we are, and we're seeing actual real life health impacts because of this. Dr. Jia Hu joins us on the Craig Needles Podcast to talk about that today and have a conversation about what's happened with vaccination rates and what that is doing to our health as a collective. Dr. Hu, thank you so much for doing this. We appreciate it.
Thanks very much for having me.
So first thing is, somewhere around, 2021, obviously, the whole term vaccination became this charged thing when we were talking about what was going on with COVID-19. And since then, we've seen a downturn in vaccination targets that are being met and what's happening with kids being vaccinated. And there are a lot of troubling trends here. So when we're talking about how much or how frequently people are getting vaccinated for preventable things like measles and shingles and influenza, what concerns does that bring up for you as a medical professional?
Well, I mean, I think obviously we know that vaccines have been some of the most effective medical interventions, public health interventions sort of ever created, actually. And so, I think that sort of seeing declines in vaccine confidence, really unfortunate, right? I mean, I think that, you rightly point out that I think that the amount of misinformation around vaccines certainly increased around the pandemic. There was sort of vaccine hesitancy beforehand, but I mean, at the end of the day, when people don't get vaccinated, people, real consequences, right? I believe a child just died of measles in Ontario for the first time in many, many decades. But I mean, there's a whole host of vaccine preventable diseases, childhood, adult, et cetera, where vaccines save like lives every day. And so we need people to get vaccinated.
We certainly do. And the impacts have become very clear. And we've seen that with a few different stories that have happened in the news here. And one of them that stood out for me, and again, this is one particular case, but I worry we're going to see this more often, a child under the age of 5 dying after a measles hospitalization. We should be doing a pretty good job of making sure people don't get measles, but the fewer people that get vaccinated, the more likely it is we're going to see measles pop up from time to time.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And I think the best way we prevent people from getting measles is by a vaccine, right? It's a very, very infectious illness. Measles is, right? It's the most sort of contagious disease there is. And the reason we've largely historically been able to eliminate it is because of vaccination.
We mentioned 2021. Is that sort of where we, again, there was always people that didn't like vaccinations before the pandemic. That was always a thing. And there were fights about whether certain kids should have to get certain vaccinations before going to school and things along those lines. So that was always sort of part of the conversation. But that clearly increased in 2021 surrounding the COVID thing. So have we seen COVID vaccination, I don't want to use the word skepticism because skepticism sounds somewhat validated and it shouldn't be. But have we seen that sort of translate to other vaccines and that has impacted the rate? Is that a fair way for me to characterize what's going on here?
Yeah, I mean, I certainly, when it comes to COVID vaccine, we've certainly seen a significant decline in uptake, right? Where, I think for the first two doses, it was, upwards of 90%. Now it's sort of hovering around the 15% mark for, I think, people got the latest, additional dose in the fall. So that drop has been really pronounced. It depends on the vaccine, right? I think for other vaccines, I think there's probably been a small decrease in uptake. For something like measles, though, even a small decrease in uptake can sort of get rid of sort of the protection we need at a population level to keep people from getting the measles. So it does go vaccine by vaccine, but I'd say you're right in saying there's been a general decline in in interest in vaccination, a general increase in concerns about vaccination, I think it's been quite marked in a number of cases.
So what do we do about it, do you think?
Yeah, that's a really good question. You know, I don't know anybody has the answer to that necessarily. I think it kind of just, you know, it requires a lot of coordinated action. You know, I think it requires, you know, healthcare workers to reinforce the importance of vaccination. You know, it requires, I think, public information campaigns. I think it requires community action. I think in the same way, in some ways, misinformation is very insidious, can spread very easily. And so I think you kind of need a whole society approach to shore up, you know, faith in vaccines, faith in science more generally, right? You know, I think we've not just, see, I mean, I think this sort of decline in trust in vaccines in some ways parallel the decline in trust of science more generally.
Yeah, the decline in trust of science, I think, spreads to a few different things. If we're talking about, you know, climate change, of course, and just general pandemic reaction. So decline in trust of science, I think, is as good an explanation as any. So really, let's do a better job with education, maybe. But that's more of a long-term goal, because that's not going to solve any problems overnight if we're doing a better job in schools.
Yeah. Absolutely. But I mean, I think these are sort of long-term problems, mm-hmm. right? As you mentioned, before the pandemic, I think in 2019, the World Health Organization named vaccine hesitancy as one of the 10 greatest threats to public health. It wasn't as much of a thing then, and it's certainly gotten a lot more organized. I think we need both, as you say, sort of longer term solutions, as well as more of the short term ones around sort of educating the public around the importance of vaccines.
So one way, I think, to educate the public about the importance of vaccines is to go through stories that are happening in Canada, in North America, the world, that are happening because, or at the very least, can be linked pretty closely to a lack of vaccination uptake. One of those would be the whooping cough epidemic that's going on in Europe right now, where there are 10 times as many cases there compared to 2 years ago. That seems like a problem to me. At one point, it used to be called the 100-day cough. And yeah, that sounds bad. And people should want to get a vaccination that makes it less likely for you to get it, I would suspect.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, and we certainly see plenty of whooping cough for pertussis in Canada as well, right? Mm-hmm. And certainly, you know, in Alberta, where I'm, you know, from, they're often, you know, the ongoing outbreak of pertussis and whooping cough. And again, you're absolutely right that, you know, people are vaccinated, they're much less likely to get it. You know, a lot of vaccines are very, very effective. Measles vaccine is probably the best one. It's close to 100% effective. I think that sort of the thing you're describing in Europe is a thing we're worried about, coming to Canada, right? I think they've also had 10 times or so the number of measles cases they've, you know, had in prior years as well.
Yeah, well, I mentioned it earlier. There's that child under the age of 5 in Hamilton who died after getting measles. And again, no amount of vaccination is going to make it so that happens 0% of the time. But when we see measles vaccination rates, especially among kids and parents making the choice to get the kids vaccinated against measles, when we see that going down and the number of kids getting measles going up, that's not a coincidence.
Yeah, no, for sure. And, you know, measles is an interesting one because the vaccine is good enough to actually get rid of it entirely, actually, right? And so, you know, a lot of countries have quote-unquote eliminated measles. Canada is sort of one of them. It just means that, you know, there's no, you know, local transmission, generally speaking, in the country. But if vaccine rates fall even a little bit, measles can come back quite quickly because, again, it is just so, so infectious.
What do you think is a marker for healthcare professionals like yourself to look at and say, okay, we're going to be in a really bad way with vaccination rates if we see this number decline below this level or this number of people getting this illness rise above that level? Sort of what are the key markers here that you would watch?
Oh, yeah. Good. I mean, it depends on the vaccine itself, right? For something like measles, you really want like 95% uptake, certainly at least 90% uptake, given how infectious the disease is, right? And you know, I think for other we kind of want high uptake rate for all vaccines, but for measles, you need it to be exceptionally high, given how infectious it is. You know, at the end of the day, I think it's also sort of not like a yes, no, sort of we have a problem, we don't have a problem. I mean, the less people are vaccinated, the more illness we'll see. I mean, certainly if I use flu as an example, influenza right now, probably like 30% of people get the vaccine, 30-40%, which is really, really, really low for a vaccine we recommend to everybody, right? And so every vaccine is a little bit different. But, you know, I think certainly the extent to which, you know, insofar as rates are falling sort of, it appears to be across the board a little bit, that's very concerning.
Yeah, it's concerning, clearly. And I think that the number of kids who are getting these vaccinations is obviously a big part of the conversation too. A, because kids can be susceptible to some of these things. And B, that clearly shows, if kids aren't getting vaccinated, that shows that mom and dad are out on vaccination too. And then maybe that becomes a generational thing. And we see some of these illnesses that, like you said, had eventually been eliminated in Canada come back. And that's what I don't want to see. And that's what I'm worried about.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
So what do we do in the short term then? What do medical professionals like yourself do when we're talking to people about the importance of vaccination? How do we essentially sell them on it?
Yeah, I mean, I think certainly, you know, you refer to this measles case. I think when people see the disease come back, you know, that does hopefully drive vaccine uptake a little bit, right? I think one of the big reasons people don't get vaccinated is because they're less concerned or not as concerned about the illness in question. And certainly, I mean, virtually nobody, you know, no physician sort of under the age of 40 or 50 healthcare worker has seen measles, right? Like, it's just so rare now. So I think things, unfortunately, resurgence of illness, I think can be sort of a focal talking point for people about immunization. I think that's sort of one piece of it, right? You know, I do think there have been sort of efforts to, you know, certainly during the pandemic, I think uptake of routine vaccines like non-COVID vaccines fell a lot. And there have been a lot of efforts to sort of catch people up, right? And I think a lot of them, you know, have, you know, caught people up more to where, say, we were in terms of uptake in 21 or 22. And those efforts sort of in terms of making vaccine available have to continue. I think efforts in terms of vaccine education have to continue. But I think it just kind of requires, you know, us firing on all cylinders. And I think stories like the really tragic one of the 5-year-old passing is the person under 5 years old passing away really reminds us why we need to sort of keep, you know, charging on all cylinders.
Yeah, the answer to this might be no, but I want to ask you this before we wrap up. Is there anything that we could or should have done differently sort of with the vaccination rollout in 2021 and into 2022 for COVID-19? Is there anything that you think we could or should have done differently that may not have led us to this path where vaccination is just so polarized? You'd think that no matter what we did, we were going to wind up there because there were a certain set of people with a certain set of views that were kind of entrenched and didn't really matter how global health leaders approached the situation.
Yeah, I mean, I think that, like, essentially, I would say that, you know, things got really divisive around that time. And I think that, you know, if anything, maybe what we could have done was, you know, treated people with a bit more empathy, right? You know, as I look back on that time, you know, I think that there was a lot of divisiveness happening in terms of people who are vaccinated versus people who are not vaccinated. I think that had we, you know, maybe tried to go for a more inclusive approach, that would have been better. I mean, I do think that the misinformation seemed like we probably could have been better prepared for the misinformation as well. Again, I don't know how best to sort of address that. I mean, that's sort of one of the questions of our day, right? Like, that's why Facebook is being called in front of U.S. Senate on a regular basis. I think if we'd been a bit less, you know, polarizing about it, it would have maybe been a bit better.
Yeah, I agree with that. But I think that the point that you just made about Facebook is a very, very good one. Whereas, and like, this just goes to social media in general, things that are not true can live there as fact. And when that's happening, that really just muddies the waters. And it doesn't really matter what anyone does. If the water is so muddy, it's going to be hard to see clearly what's going on, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And then there are people that are just kind of detached a little bit from reality. And I don't think they're ever coming back. And that's sad. But it's a whole other podcast for a whole other day. Anything else, Doctor Who, that you want to add on this conversation before we wrap up our chat here?
No, that's all. Thanks very much for taking the time to talk about vaccines. I mean, we need more of this as well, so I really appreciate it.
Yeah, I think it's important too. So anything else that happens or comes up that you think it's important that folks know about, do not hesitate to let me know and we'll talk about it. Okay.
Okay, thank you.
That's Dr. Jiahu on the Craig Needles podcast here on Classic Rock 98.1.com, London News Today.ca, and wherever you get your podcast. doctor who is a family health physician who was kind enough to spend a couple of minutes with us today talking about the issue surrounding lack of vaccination uptake. And I'm worried that we're going to see more stories like the Hamilton one. I'm worried we're going to see more stories like the pertussis one in Europe. And again, this whole thing got out of hand during the COVID-19 conversation. But we're not talking about COVID-19 vaccination rates right now. We're talking about vaccines that have existed for a very long time with a generations-long proven track record of being safe and very effective, and people refusing those. That is a problem. That is worrisome, and I'm worried about what that is going to do to the general level of health that we have as a society. It's a worthwhile topic, worthwhile conversation on the Craig Needles podcast, which of course can be found wherever you get your podcasts, and at classicrock981.com and londonnewstoday.ca. Have a fantastic week. We'll be back for the Friday roundtable on the Craig Needles podcast, which will be at our Covent Garden Market studios. The Covent Garden Market is one of the sponsors of this podcast, along with our friends over at Downtown London.
The Craig Needles podcast is a presentation of the Blackburn Media Podcast Network.